I'ma spit you something right off the dome. Just right here, cause we alone. A Julia. You know I never make a fool of ya. With me and you was like we out of space. I wanna wrap them legs around my waist.
And then my face.
Shout out to Craig Robinson.
I didn't even make that connection. That's good, Sid. All right. Well, what do we watch this week for that to be relevant?
This week, we tune into Morris from America. Not to be confused with Morris from France. That's not a real movie. Available to stream on Netflix, starring Craig Robinson and Marquise Christmas.
All right. Let's start the show.
Hey, I'm Lex.
Hey, y'all. I'm Sid.
And this is the New Chitlin' Circuit.
We review indie, low budget, and direct-to-TV black films. Let's pay these bills we don't got yet, because we're speaking things into existence. We're taking the B. Simone approach here, and we're manifesting. Yes.
Baby girl!
Baby girl! This week's 60-second challenge, as always, is brought to you, our very loyal listener. And it's for you, the loyal listener. So, you're welcome, actually. Alrighty, so I'm going to give Alexis 60 seconds to explain the plot of Morris from America. And while we have you here, just make sure you like and subscribe and share this link with any of your friends and family if you're enjoying what you've heard thus far. All right, let's get into it.
All right, I got it. You got the clock?
I am pulling her up right now. All right, we ready?
All right, so father and son, Craig Robinson and a little guy, they moved to Germany, where the daddy is on a football coaching staff. Football as in soccer, we international. Yes. Problem is, the mother and wife of this family has sadly passed away. And the little boy is trying to adjust to that new life in Germany. Yep. He don't know a lot of German, but he working on it. And there's a girl, he is chasing her up and through the streets of Germany to no avail, because you can't trust no women, especially German women. That's what the movie said. And he end up stranded somewhere out in the middle of Germany. His daddy worried about him, and he is just trying to come of age in the European Union. How I do?
Snaps on the mic. You had a whole 12 seconds left.
You know, I gotta stop looking at you on the video when I'm doing it, because you at 15 seconds you shift in your chair. And then when I got like 10 seconds left, your eyes get real big. And then when I go over, you just relax completely. Cause you know you're about to get me.
You're done. It's over for you at that point.
I have lived to survive another week on the show.
Another week. I don't gotta, you know, have to do no interviews and have you replaced, because girl, I don't have time for that. So
I've been working on it, friend.
It's working out for you. So that's good. It's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, shit. Look, now that we know what this movie is, who's in it, and what went on, I want to hear your thoughts, Sydney. What did you think about Morris from America?
This, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't super excited about this movie. So I have tried to watch it once before, but I think I know the reason why I didn't finish it now after finishing it this time. But also, my rating for this on Netflix was only 67% like. So, you know, it was pretty low for me. Anything I watch on Netflix that's like 80% and above, I love it, just like they assume I do. And anything lower than that, I usually am indifferent or hate it. This movie, I'm, you know, happy to say that the Netflix algorithm kind of got it wrong. I enjoyed Morris from America. I think the most enjoyable part of it was seeing Craig Robinson on screen. I had text you like before that I just was missing his comedy after watching Daddy's Little Girls last week. And I really wanted to watch Peoples with him and Kerry Washington. I just think he's really funny and a great actor. But also, and we can go into it later, I don't think I've seen any like other movies focused on like single dad and like their relationship with their kid and it not be rooted in like some kind of just really bad struggle. And this was really just like kind of fun to see their relationship. They were really like buddies, you know what I'm saying? It was lighthearted and I needed that. So I enjoyed Morris from America. So I'm happy to report back. What'd you think? Cause I know I gave you some pushback. I was like, I'm really not feeling it. So
Yeah, I'm really happy you enjoyed it in the end, because I was kind of like a little clenched up coming into the review, because I didn't know if you would like it or not, because this is kind of right up my alley, but yeah, I didn't know if you would like it or not. I'm glad you found some value in it. What I thought of it, I actually did try and start it once before as well on Netflix, because this is more like a, like very, like my percentage for it was pretty high.
Oh, gotcha.
But I got distracted. I didn't finish watching it the first time because I think it was like a Friday night and I already had my Friday whiskey. And the note that I have, I started taking a note before we said we'd do it. And I said, good start, but I got distracted because it made me want to watch Poussey's episode on Orange is the New Black. So I stopped it and watched Poussey's, because just seeing black folks in Germany, and just like, it made me go, you know what was good when it was good? Orange is the New Black was good. So I did stop and watch that. They did not. And that's exactly why Jinji Cohen just no longer gets no trust from me, because we gave her a chance.
We did.
Anyway. But when I went back and watched it, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm into this. Uh-huh. And ultimately, I full agree with you about we don't typically see like single dad with their like son, or even just like a dynamic like this, like black father, black son, like in tune on screen like this. It's typically, right, we get a lot of disciplinarian angles. We get a lot of struggle, like Pursuit of Happiness, right, which was a true story. So,
yeah,
you can't. I mean, it's a true story, but it's nice to get some fiction that this is just a straight up, like, just like look at this family, like it's just a straight up family story, you know. And I really liked it.
I agree. I was kind of, for me, like the relationship was, I mean, this doesn't have like a buddy cop scenario at all, but it was kind of like a buddy cop. So you have like the one serious guy who's always trying to solve the case, which I think at this point was kind of Morris, because he's trying to figure out why the hell we in Germany. I don't want to be here. I'm tired of all these white German kids bothering me. And Craig is trying to make this fun and, you know, try and build their life back up after the like loss of his wife and mother, and you know, see the upside in everything from the beginning of the movie to the end. So I really did enjoy this movie. Now that I think about it, I did.
Oh, I'm smiling so hard now. Oh man. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, best buds enjoying a movie.
It was good.
This is the content, guys.
Giving all right what they want.
Well, let's get into it. You know, I want to open up and talk about like which of the scenes jumped out to you in the start of the movie. Like, at what point were you drawn in? Were you like, all right, I want to know what's up here?
I wanted to keep watching the opening. So I realized why I never finished the movie the first time, or also don't really remember what it was about. I was sleepy. I tried to watch this like last year, like Christmas or Thanksgiving when I was home, and it was like late. You know, I'm back home in the burbs. I have nobody else to talk to but my family. They're all asleep. So I'm up trying to watch a movie. And I just got bored of it. And just bored being out in the middle of nowhere in the dark. And fell asleep. So that's probably why I had not great feelings toward this movie. Because of what happened when I tried to watch it.
I thought you were going to say something else. I thought you were going to say you couldn't get into the movie because of the European rap. That there's European rap throughout the movie being played. And I know you hate British rappers.
I do. I don't understand it. I really don't like it. I don't see the point in it. I know there's some guys out there who are popular. What's it? Stormzy. And
you don't like Stormzy?
No. I like that one song he got with Kehlani about cigarettes.
You don't like Skepta?
Hell no, I don't like Skepta. Who that is?
Well, that was a joke. But that was fire, though.
That's what all of it sound like.
Big Man Shaq, you're talking about.
I like it if Drake do it.
So you want the watered down version of it?
Sure, you can call it that. Drake is a chameleon. Nothing's watered down from him.
Okay, so his Atlanta accent is spot on, you're telling me?
I didn't say that.
Alrighty, next question. That's why also I knew I would be a little bit more partial to this, because I'm okay with European rap. Not all of it, no, But
yeah. I mean, but, I like those, like those little French rap songs that was in Uncorked. Those was cute. Those mm-hmm. French trap. Those I like that. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let's get right on into it. That's kind of where the movie opens up. It's setting the scene, and we're already in Germany. Like, we're already there with them, and they've moved into a small kind of, like, suburb of Germany. Yeah. They're not even in Berlin or Frankfurt or Munich. They're just in, like, this...
They're in Heidelberg.
Like, small town.
Like that, yeah.
Heidelberg. That's how you say it, yep. Mm. And we're getting some of that. I got to be honest. The first scenes that called out to me were the ones where he first meets the girl, Katrin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which one got you first?
Honestly, the opening scene. Because I'm trying to like get my bearings and figure out where Craig's name in the movie is Curtis, where Curtis and Morris are located. And then we find out later on they're in Germany. But like them just together, I guess, like in a room getting ready in the morning, Craig is trying to teach him like some old school rap, like, nah, what you think about this? And, you know, Morris is like, I mean, it's cool. Like, you know, the beat's nice, but it's kind of slow. Can't nobody dance to this? You know, and it just reminded me of myself whenever I decided to have some children and trying to explain the beauty that was the Cheetah Girls circa, you know, 2002, because that's really important for them to know, you know, why Raven Simone did what she had to do for those girls and why you don't want to be Cinderella sitting in a dusty waiting for somebody. Okay. You don't want to do that.
I think we're going to have a hard time explaining girl groups. We're going to have an even harder time explaining boy groups to like boy bands the next generation of kids. Because that was a huge thing of American pop culture. So similarly, Curtis, Craig Robinson's character is trying to explain like the fundamentals. He's like an old head rap guy. Like he's just like, come on, this is flow.
Rhythm. You know, I thought that was beautiful. That little like father and son moment. They're just, you know, they're just kikiing together and having a good time. And then later we find out that, okay, he's trying to give him some culture because they over here in Germany and he's not going to get this outside of the house. So the opening scene drew me in.
That's nice, man. So he is in school, kind of like he's learning German, and he's going to this rec center also, where he's kind of mixing in with the other kids in the town, all German kids. We get this shot of him at the rec center, and the entire classroom is white German kids, and he's just sitting like away in the back to himself, you know. But after he leaves out of there, he's followed and like, you know, he's following this girl, which is creepy. I wish Morris hadn't done this.
It was the real peeper vibes. It's just like, oh God. Yeah.
Very much so. But she stops him and she starts talking to him and she's kind of friendly and she speaks some English, which I found interesting. So many people speak English in Germany, which is just a really American thing of me because here it's not. Most people speak one language here.
Yeah, it is true. And I mean, like, even in school, in high school, when you decide what languages you want to take and learn, the biggest choice usually is Spanish, obviously. And then, like, there's a French class. But I don't even think we had a German class in my high school. My Spanish teacher in middle school, remember Miss Campbell? She was German.
I thought so. She was mean and she real tall and pale, smelled like cigarettes.
Yep.
That's all I remember. She never cut the lights on in the classroom.
And she used to cuss us out for saying bless you when somebody sneezed. So I never understood that.
Simi, I think you're dragging that. I don't remember her doing
that. She used to get real mad.
Y'all was overdoing it.
The classroom was cold. Hell, everybody got to sneeze. You got all these anemic black kids in the classroom. And I had allergies.
You have some personal beef you need to take up with Miss Campbell. Anyway. So he makes his first German friend. And I thought she was very nice. They have a very charming banter. Like the banter that they have throughout the whole movie is really like, like, to me, I was like, I was interested in him being this girl's friend as well.
Really? I had the complete opposite reaction. I didn't trust homegirl the entire movie. I thought she was up to
something. For real?
I thought she was real sneaky.
She bought my trust. So later in the, like a couple scenes later, he stumbles upon that group of the German kids. Mm-hmm. And she's there. And yeah. the boy, he's being mean to him. He calls him Big Mac, which is shitty. But she, Katrin, is like, okay, whatever. And she leaves the group to talk to him. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Because, like, in an American teenage movie, the telltale sign that someone's a fake friend is if they, like, when they act funny around other people. But she didn't. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, how nice.
Something about her just, like, read, you know, if they had whatever scenes were edited out or if something was added to the movie, you know, she would do him dirty at the drop of a hat for some other white Germans. It just so happened that the one she wasn't messing with was assholes. So, you know, that's good for her for having that kind of sense of character. But I just feel like she really would just leave Morris behind if she had to. Like, they wasn't friends for real. She just seemed real, like, she wanted to get some, like, black stuff from him. She was always so curious about, so this is what blacks do in America? Jay-Z? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Kick a rhyme, Morris. You know, like, she asked him that. She told him to kick a rhyme or some dumb shit. I was like, oh.
She also did ask about the size of his penis, so that is also something that happened.
Yeah.
At which point, I also at that point, I wrote, okay, this little girl nasty, and she fast.
Fast. Fast.
She fast.
Fast. So, no.
Yeah. That actually turns out to be the like, crux of the movie is that she is a terrible person for him to be hanging out with. Not, I don't think she was bad in her character. She was just a stupid teenager. And she herself was chasing after some boy, and which yielded her in making bad decisions as well. But yeah, she ended up being a pretty bad person for Morris to be around.
Yeah. I knew there wasn't a whole lot of black folks in Germany. But you do think that, like, we're everywhere. Because we are, technically. But, like, Morris can have not one other black friend except for his daddy. I mean, that was just sad.
Yeah. Like, I would at least expect, like, Europe has a lot of, like, West African, like, immigrants there. So I figured, like, somebody. But no.
Or even, I don't know where, like the U.S. Army bases are in Germany. But, you know, it would be a lot of black
kids. Imperialism's jumping out, Sydney. We don't have people there? Have we not stationed there? I thought we was everywhere, baby. American flag everywhere. What you talking about? We everywhere. It don't matter. There is no part of this world where I can't get a Big Mac American style.
Well, I ain't say you did.
It jumped out, Sydney. It was very George W. of you. to our international listeners, we are not a good representation of America. I suggest you tune into the Joe Rogan podcast. I feel like that's a better pulse of
what's really going on over here. Because
this is just nigga shit. You tuned into the United States of niggas. Yeah. Oh, we played too much. But this comes up, you know, and there's like there's also this unspoken thing, like the German kids, there's a lot at play here that's unspoken, but I think is really, like, it's pointed at well enough. Like, Morris is dealing with racial problems, which he's not, like, quite equipped. He's 13. He's not quite equipped to fully understand.
And
but it's also
that, weren't they from the Bronx? They came from the Bronx to Germany. So, like, the dynamics there, at least in the subset of the Bronx in New York, is very much black people and brown people. That's most of the people living in the Bronx. So it's not like you don't face racism because it's white cops and shit, but, like, you know, most of the kids ain't not fucking with you because you black. That's just not a thing.
Yeah. So there's the racial thing. And then there's, like, there's always the American context. Whenever we go, especially to Europe, people, like, Europeans, the world sees us a certain way. So for an American to be, like, for us, it's something that might be genuinely confusing. Other people are like, stupid Americans. Or, like, you know, it's always colored by that. And he doesn't understand any of this stuff. He's just trying to fucking be 13.
Yeah. You don't got to be lonely no more. I'm like,
There is one scene I really want to talk about. The first time we meet the tutor that's tutoring him in German. So I think the tutor was a great character in this movie. She's one of my favorites. I wish they had made her a dyke because it fit. and because I think she looked cute. And you know I'm not one to be, you know, what's a polite way to say that?
I don't know.
You know who, what type of people I like to date. Mm-hmm. And it's not typically her type. Yes. But she's pretty and she was charming. And her and Morris were like, they had this, the banter, the dialogue in the movie is just written well.
Yeah, it is. And she looked out for Morris. I feel like out of all the other, that's why I liked her character a lot. She seemed to have Morris's best interests at heart, even when she would kind of overstep boundaries. Like, you know how Black people don't like teachers to be coming up in our house telling me how to raise my child. That's not what we're going to do. You worry
they do
about
not
him.
Not like that.
Right. For them 8 hours he in school, that's when he's your business. Any other time of the day, he my business. So
if you like my mama, you'll say, you worry about her at the schoolhouse, I'll worry about her at my house.
See, exactly.
Shout out my mama. Hey, ma.
Hey, Miss B.
Yes. So I thought the tutor was nice. And it was also the first scene in the movie where we really, because Morris, other than that opening scene, Morris is kind of quiet the whole time because he's around a bunch of people speaking German and he's not fluent yet. Right. He knows some, but he's not fluent. So with the tutor, who's clearly like, of course, she speaks English and German fluently. Mm-hmm. He's getting to like make jokes and like be, we really get to see who Morris is. And I really like that because now I was like, okay, this young man, this actor is doing it. All right.
He's doing it. He's funny. He had a lot of great, I think, comedic moments in the movie and his timing was impeccable. So
yeah.
His name is Chris, what's his name? Marquise Christmas. Shout out to you, young sir. Yeah. You did a good job.
Yeah. For real. Yeah, there is a couple of, because I do want to get to that scene where the tutor does overstep, but before that I want to talk quick about the first party he goes to out there, which is where Katrin, the girl, embarrasses him in front of everybody.
That's what I said. You can't trust this hoe. I don't know if she's a child, but you can't trust that hoe.
But the note that I have, because it's like a very like like techno type of party, and he walks in and the lights are low. It looked real grungy and industrial and just like, just seems like drugs everywhere. You don't see none, but I just know.
But it's there. No, they're there.
It looks unsavory. And the note that I have is, I let my precious American baby swim unsupervised before I let him attend this Euro mess.
Could understand at that point why Curtis was giving this 13-year-old so much freedom. I couldn't get that in this little German city. The boy barely speaks German or Dutch. Is it Dutch? The language is Dutch.
It's German. They call it Deutsch. Is what?
Deutsch. Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's how you say German in German.
Oh, okay. That makes sense now from Goldmember, but that's another story. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't understand that from like being raised by Black parents and then just being, you know, thinking back on that, just different kind of like PTSD of, you know, always people want to know where you at, which is, I guess, is fine. You want to check on your Black child because we is not always safe out here. It's true. I didn't understand why he was letting him be out, running wild with these people. I mean, I guess he wanted him to make friends, but like, ask your friend to come over to the house first. Who was they mama?
That's a very motherly thing to say. Dads, you kind of do what you want with your daddy, and especially when you're a little boy.
Yeah. But 13? Yeah. That's a baby, as they say.
Look, men don't see it that way. Men think their son, as soon as he hit a teenager, you got to let him grow up and fly free or whatever bullshit. That
13, you in the seventh grade. You ain't no damn teenager. You in middle school. Mm-hmm. You need to calm down.
It ain't no good to me either, Sydney. I don't agree either. But yeah, let's so after that, what the key part of the story, Morris wants to like prove himself and like stick it to these kids. So he signs up for the talent show and he's got some rhymes scribbled down in his notebook. And his tutor finds that and brings it home. This is what we were talking about earlier. And yeah, of course, Curtis Morris's dad is like, look here, girl, don't be reading through my son's notebook. Like, you know, that's, don't worry about that. You worry about his German and you stay the hell out of our business. Because the tutor's white. If she was black, it probably would have been different. But what I want to discuss is the trauma I relived in because he has found these rap lyrics, the dad, and he asks Morris to come downstairs and he is reciting these terrible rap lyrics to Morris. And you know what he says? He says, Curtis, the dad says, now how it go? How the melody go? You say it. That sing is the most black parent shit. No, sing it.
The usual follow-up to that is, if you knew your math like you knew them lyrics, I wouldn't have no teacher up in my house.
You ain't lying. Sydney, have you ever had to recite or like repeat a bad thing you did or said? Has this happened to you?
I don't think I've had to recite anything, but there is one bad thing that I did in the sixth grade that my father, Tyrone Johnson, will not let me forget. It happened in the sixth grade. I was 11 years old. And anytime you want to bring it up, it's, one of my kids is a cheater. One of them is a thief. I'm the cheater. And we have to rehash the entire situation completely all the way through. And this happens at least once or twice every month since the time it happened. So.
Well, Sydney, look, you have to do the time. I've had this exact thing happen, not with my angsty poems and raps, though. I don't think anybody ever found my raps. Even though, I mean, the problem with Morris is they were violent and misogynist because he was, the chorus was fucking two bitches at the same time. So, appropriately, his daddy cusses him out. Like, what the fuck do you know about fucking two bitches at the same time? But mine was like notes I would pass in class. And you know, when you used to pass notes, you would just like toss it in your backpack or whatever. If the note was over or like, you know, the conversation has been concluded or there's nothing else to say, you just toss it in your backpack. And most of the time, throw it away. Yeah. Most of the time, put it in your, whatever. But sometimes you put it in your pants pocket and your mama do your laundry. And so I was in middle school. Actually, no. I was in elementary school. My mom never caught I had my teacher catch a note once. That wasn't as embarrassing because I was right in that note. 7th grade, Mr. Hill, the only teacher to verbally say, I don't like you, to me. he intercepts a note I was sending to my friend who was asking for my homework, and I said, well, girl, it's only 5% of the grade, like, it's okay if you miss this assignment. And he reads it out loud and he got mad. And I was like, he was like, it doesn't matter if it's 5%. I was like, but it is. Did I misread the syllabus, Mr. Hill? Anyway.
You should put that like your intro on your mixtape. For all the teachers who told me I wasn't gonna be shit, Mr. Hill.
Mr. Hill. He was an ugly nigga too. I remember him very well. But no, my mama was stirring cabbage or something at the stove, and she had a sheet of paper in her hand. She was reading it. I'm at the dining room table, my business. And I didn't realize what she was reading. I don't know. Thought it was a recipe or something.
Right.
And she turns around and asks me if I could help her out, like, reading it. And I was...
This is classic.
What do you mean? This is 5th grade. This is Sydney and you were at the same school. I don't remember the boy's name. We weren't even friends like that. But this, you know, we all learning how to cuss. So... So we're passing notes on the bus. You remember the bus driver wouldn't let nobody talk, Miss T?
Yes, I do.
She was bald. She was real mean. She ran a tight ship. Yes. You can't talk on the bus. What type of shit is that? So we were passing notes. And yeah, so we was learning how to cuss. And we were just trying to figure out where all these words go. So you just use them all in one sentence. Like vulgar words. And like as vulgar of a combination as you can imagine. Like I'm talking like you put fuck next to like, like, yo, like fuck, shit, dick.
Damn.
One word. That's just one. You know, you're just learning how to cuss.
Right.
And my mom was like, you know, could you
could you recite this?
Could you help me with this? Like, could you? No, she goes, she did exactly what Morris's dad did. She goes, now what do it mean if she like reads it out? And I literally go, I don't know, that don't make no sense. And she turns it around, it's my handwriting. So yeah, she didn't know what to do that day. I was already on punishment, so there was nowhere to go with it. What's she gonna do? Take the pants? We didn't have phones at that time.
That's true. I ain't had no phone.
It's 2005. We didn't have phones.
Oh my god, that is funny. That is perfect. Actually, yeah. That happened. I think. To Courtney, my sister, she had like wrote something in her little journal in like the sixth grade, but it was like a letter to our mom, but she was cussing our mom out in the
letter. It's because y'all watch too much Oprah. Oprah told everybody write a letter, but don't send it. And Courtney was trying to get out her frustration.
The letter was found, and I don't know. I think. Our mom let it go, or maybe because it was found like way afterwards. Like we're going through Courtney stuff, which is like late high school, or maybe she was in college at this point. And my mom finds the book. She goes, "Courtney, you wrote this?" And it was like, and she remembered why she wrote it. She was pissed about something that happened in like the damn third grade or something, and she wrote this book. So
yeah, you know, period.
Yeah, it's funny though.
I don't even know. I like, but that was so traumatic to me. And now that I'm really thinking about it, this has happened several times in my childhood. And I don't know what to say because I think it's actually a pretty reasonable response from the adult in this situation to just ask.
What do you mean that the
author like give their like takes? I want to hear it in your voice, you know?
Please.
So at least kids these days, they got, you know, iPhones so they can text, but we had to pass notes.
Pass notes, yeah. That's good though. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. That's great. So that is probably my favorite part. Maybe. It may be my favorite part of this movie because I was like, oh hell. Well, look, let's pull out because there's the climax scene we need to talk about, but there's one scene that I want to talk about. I do wish that we had of someone who's gone through male puberty before to talk through this one. Because there's a very artistic scene. The director took a lot of like artistic liberties.
Well, I think I know exactly what scene you're talking about. I have this in my notes.
Mm-hmm. Where Morris is like at home and like slow dancing with the pillow.
And he is dressed
like hunching
up
the pillow.
Yeah. He hunched it. That's exactly what he did. That made me think about, because you're like, you know, when you were a kid, and everyone has done this, you got dolls, you got action figures, whatever you're playing with, and you see stuff on TV and in movies, and you acted out with your dolls, you know, you and your, but it's like,
yeah,
but you know, you got to do it quietly, and you need to do it when you know you're going to be alone for a certain amount of time. You pressing them dolls together, you in your room on the other side of your bed, away from the door. I thought of it kind of like how that happens when you're playing with your dolls or whatever, but that also kind of happens I think at a younger age too, because I stopped playing with dolls by the time I was 13, so
yeah,
maybe I was fast.
Sydney, you weren't fast. don't judge child Sydney for having curiosities. She is who became this wonderful heterosexual woman in front of us today. I'm sorry, guys. I'm feeling goofy today. You know what this scene reminded me of?
What?
The scene in the wood where the main character's like is dancing with the pillow bunny in the living room. But he gets caught. So yeah. I thought we was gonna see like Craig Robinson like walk past and go, oh, and like go just like leave. But it was weird because the director chose to like shoot it like a sex scene. Like, it faded to black when Morris, like, mounted the pillow. It was a weird... The scene wasn't weird as it's written, or it's not weird for a teenage boy, a 13-year-old boy at all. It's not weird for him to do that. It's just weird, the direction of the scene.
What was chosen for that scene is the direction around what was chosen for that scene was, it's a little off-putting. And you're right, I didn't even realize that. Like, after, I guess Morris is done, and he's getting his business on, we fade out to black, and the next scene he's all sunny after him and the pillow done got busy.
It's like a morning after. It's strange.
Yeah, I didn't even put that together.
I don't know if I would have chose that. But hey, you got to choose your liberties. And it didn't take away from the movie too much. Okay.
But also, I'll say, because some of the movie, the director, whatever, it leaned a lot into like Morris's just like perception of the world. So like when he's going to find earlier in the movie, find whatever castle he's looking for to have an adventure in, and he's listening to music and he's not in his head having a great time. And then he's looking around, the statue's not in their head having a great time. The painting's doing the same thing. So maybe that's supposed to be like just Morris's fantasy and how he's seeing it in his mind. I'm taking a lot of artistic pleasures here, but that could be it.
That's a decent interpretation, in my opinion, because you're right. I actually did forget about that. The movie does kind of occur inside of his heads at some points. Right. So maybe that's what it was, you know? Well, let's get to the big show about this. He ends up following this girl to a different city while his dad is away overnight. He goes to Frankfurt. Morris goes to Frankfurt with this girl for a concert. And, you know, he ends up rocking the stage, he does which is nice. He spit it out.
Oh, you're right.
You didn't catch that? He was...
I missed that. Oh, that was smooth, Morris.
He spit it out, which is great for you, kid, because you do not want to be high on no designer drugs around no white kids in Germany. Ooh. Every adjective I added to that sentence made it worse. Designer drug, white kids, Germany.
No.
Yeah, you do not want that. So he did spit that out, but he still ends up at this damn party.
Yeah, I thought something terrible was going to happen to our kid. I said, oh my God, like Morris is about to get like, I don't know, drug out here by some of these white kids or something, or he's going to get hurt and nobody going to know where he's at because his phone is dead. I'm glad it didn't turn out that way. But I was really worried as a viewer.
Yeah, I was worried as well. And I think they wanted us to be, because it's, at some points it's like we're seeing the world as Morris sees it. But then when he does something so irrational and so like, it's such a childish thing to do, like go away to a different city in a foreign country with people you barely know.
Right.
But he ends up getting stranded in Frankfurt. And he calls the tutor. And of course, the tutor calls his dad to come get him. Because that would be a mess. And I just want to talk about Mr. Craig Robinson's big speech in the car.
Yeah. About his mom and how he did this whole, wanted to surprise her. His mother was what, in school in London or something? Or what was she at school?
She was in school in Berlin.
In Berlin. And he wants to surprise her, but he shows up. Turns out she done went to Frankfurt. Now he has to figure out, okay, I want to make this grand gesture for this girl that I love, and the way he describes her, she is fine, you know what I'm saying, she is fine. So Morris's mama was a dime, clearly. Shout out to her.
Shout out to her, you know? Honestly, I hate to be like this.
Wait, say it, you've been already...
Craig Robinson is my type, and
really, really funny, and I wouldn't say he's
my type,
but I go out on a date with Craig Robinson.
It's for me, and I'm consistent because I said the same thing about Wendell Pierce, and
you did.
So he's my type. Yeah, I definitely would have been excited to see Craig in Frankfurt as she was.
Yeah,
but I when I like heard, you know, because the speech he's trying to give is like, I too, it's crazy. He's not even mad at him, really. He's like, I too have ended up in Frankfurt chasing some tail.
Yes.
I get it. Right. And the note that I put down at like when he was giving this monologue to Morris, who is like petrified in the front seat of the car, I literally said, this is why I turned on this movie. I wanted like, this scene is just distilled, like Craig Robinson and what's the young man's name? Marquise
Christmas.
There it is. Craig Robinson, like really like being the backbone father of this and just like this dynamic. He was very vulnerable. The little boy, this is when we finally get Morris like opening up to his dad. Because throughout the movie, he just kind of gets more angry teenager.
When he sheds those little tears, I said, oh, Morris, it's okay. You're not even mad, man. You're going to be all right.
But then his dad brings it right back around and goes, oh, no, you grounded like a motherfucker.
There's no place your ass going to be. It's in the house.
So, yeah, man, that's pretty much what happened. And I just really, I had a good time sitting down and just being with Morris and his daddy for an hour and a half. I really liked it.
I agree. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought. This is definitely not a movie that I would typically tune into just to watch for pleasure at all. But I'm glad because we have this platform. We have a platform now that's crazy. That I tuned in and I added it to my thumbs up list on Netflix. So maybe I'll get some more, you know, recommendations that are similar. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sid, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Who came to act?
You know, this one wasn't really difficult for me. You know, who in this film left it all on the screen, gave it their all, and left a lasting impression on the committee? Me. For this week's Who Came to Act Award, honestly, I couldn't choose. I think we have an ensemble winner. And I like to give that to young Marquise Christmas and Craig Robinson. I think the both of them equally played a huge role in this movie and really made it what it was. So the both of you have earned this week's spot for Who Came to Act.
This is it's like a duo. It's like when people would get like, what is that type of award where you can, this is innovative. They don't do this nowhere else to get like two co-star awards. Like,
yeah, except at like the MTV Movie and TV Awards, I do like the best kiss. So you have to have two people to do that. But like,
not Derwin and Drew.
You gotta have to do that, but like whatever.
I like this. This is innovative, Sydney. I accept it fully, wholeheartedly, because both of these actors, they played off each other so well.
Yes, I agree. It was a great movie. Shout out to the both of y'all. Craig Robinson, if you want to be on the show, let us know. We're big fans. Like I said at the beginning, I love you and Peoples. I thought you were hilarious. So hit us up.
Yeah. All right. No, for real though, Craig, let us know, because we big fans.
big.
Big fans. All right. Well, if you ain't got nothing else, Sid, do you?
Nah, that's it. I'm going to wrap it up here. Stay safe out there, y'all. Thanks for listening. If you're tuning in on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, if you see it 5 stars right now, just click all of them for us. Feel free to join in on the conversation. You can find us on Twitter at TNCCpod and check us out on Instagram at New Chitlin Circuit, and that's spelled CHITLIN.